So what if you can't touch the sky? It doesn't mean you shouldn't try. Do you wanna fly?
Welcome back to another high quality episode of the Jibber Jabber podcast and our High Times series. Today we are joined by the one and only John Comerford, who plays Tex in High Times. If you've still not watched High Times and you've been listening to the series, what the fuck are you doing? Go watch it, right? Anyway, Tex, top guy, top fucking character and top man. By just speaking to the man himself, he was an absolute blast. Kevin, how much fun did we have today?
That was amazing. We went to see him. What's the name of his hairdressers again?
It's called Alice Rocks. It's in Gibson Street in Glasgow. It's quite well established, actually. And a lot of good fucking Google reviews. I checked that earlier on. It's quite upmarket.
It's a really nice place. You can tell that when you go in there that you're in good hands. Watch those hands may just stray in you though, right? No, I'm only kidding. it was actually amazing to meet Tex in the flesh. The guy, he's got a nice bit of Clive Russell look going on now, with swept back hair and whatnot. But you can still tell it's the same guy that we've seen on our screens, let's say, 15 years ago?
Yeah, he's got that kind of, that Billy Connolly-esque windswept and interest in... he's a character, and it's like he's built this character up over the years he's had on the planet, and he seems to be comfortable.
Absolutely.
Now, and we had an absolute blast talking to him. The guy's funny. He was as funny off mic as he was on mic. Got some good stories out of him. And what's one of the best things about doing what we're doing is the fact that we bring back memories that they've long forgotten when we're speaking to these actors and producers and stuff. We might mention something, they're like, oh my God, yeah, I remember this time. And that happens a few times in this. So
it's pretty cool.
It was really good. The only kind of downside of what we've done today, we try to get fucking parked. Hey, Kevin?
Hi. Apparently
Sunday's a busy day now. Like back in the day, Sundays were just quiet. Sundays were where people just kind of took time to reflect on the week's toils and how difficult it was just to get past the Saturday. Now it's like Sunday comes and everybody's like, right, let's go to the fucking dune. Let's take our cars.
We were kind of just sat in his hairdressing salon. Do you call it a salon? So we're sitting there, we were actually sitting on these wee, you know, the chairs that you sit on to get your hair cut. And so we kind of just made a little circle in the middle of his shop, and we just kind of shoot the shit, which was quite cool because everybody that walked past the windows kept looking in us to say, like, whoa, what are they doing? What are they doing? It's like, it's a microphone, mate. It's not a fucking Uzi. Camden.
That's true, but the thing is, he was facing away from the window, so you could tell that they were looking in trying to see if it was you and me that was famous.
They're like, oh, there's a fat James McAvoy in a what? What would they call you?
James Fatavoy and fucking Gerard Gutler.
Alright, so we get right in it with Tex. I'm going to keep calling him Tex. We get right in it with him in this show. It's brilliant. We spent a lot of time with him. He's a really nice guy. And maybe go ahead and check out some of the other stuff he's done previously as well. He was in River City, and he also done a short film called Stone.
Stone.
What was that other word? Stone Label.
With three guys in a garden making something out of stone.
Exactly. So make sure you go and check that out. It's on YouTube. You can get it in two parts. But yeah, let's not shoot the shit too much. Let's just put this episode out there. We were sitting in a store, so if you do hear passing traffic and whatnot, we did the best we could with regards to the sound. So enjoy, guys. Enjoy.
John Comerford. Thanks very much for giving us your time. I know Sundays are always busy for hairdressers.
Especially during lockdown, right?
Aye. So thanks for having us at your place to talk about High Times, that wee gem that I'd never heard of until the start of this year.
Really?
I hadn't heard it until we had Stephen on the show and he mentioned it. And we kind of just breezed past it because it was something that, like, none of us had heard it. And he mentioned something about High Times. This was...
Well, how long ago was High Times?
2004.
2004,
right? Sorry. It's scary how fast the time kind of flies in it. It gets faster as well. It's getting faster for me already. So yeah, Stephen mentioned it, and we just kind of breezed past it and started talking about his other stuff that he'd been in.
YouTube.
Aye. and we subsequently found out that it was on the STV player, so you can watch it legitimately. It doesn't get advertised, but if you type it in, it's there.
Yeah.
There you go. You just get adverts on it. That's it.
Speaking of advert, I actually saw the advert the first time around back when it came out. But as I've said to the other guys, it's not something that you could record at the time because that wasn't a thing, being able to record TV. So I never actually got a chance to see it because I didn't know when it was on. But I did always remember that advert where Stephen, you know, it's actually you and Stephen. And you hold the money up when he's saying you can keep the change and then you hold the money up. Be too careful. It's like, is that right? Aye. Change. And you know, see forever. I used to quote that advert with my pals, right? And we'd laugh about it, right? And only after Stephen came to do the podcast and had gone, I went, wait a minute, was that actually Stephen? And honestly, I was like, how the hell did I not know that? Because I used to quote that as part, that was part of, do you know what I mean? Is that right? I change, and we'd all have a good laugh about it. And here I am sitting in your hairdresser's chatting to that very guy. Crazy how the world works, right?
Aye.
It's changed the bits
of me, isn't it? Honestly, as soon as I saw you, I was like, that's definitely him. Sure, so I'm sporting a bit of a beard these days.
A few years ago, I don't have a city for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a few years ago, a guy from occasionally people go, hey, you're a guy for High Times, and I loved it when they said that because I was so proud of it.
What was the difference in feeling?
The quality of the writing, don't get me wrong, every side's a great experience, amazing experience, and really hard work,
Mm-hmm.
But High Times was, you knew the writing was brilliant, there was hardly any acting in it,
yeah.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a luxury.
Yeah.
You don't need to pretend too much.
Mm.
Some people might disagree with me on that, but if the writing's really good, it can work for the set, yeah. And the cast was chosen well.
Yeah. I think
Sean trusted everyone, you know.
I think when it comes to the acting side and stuff like you were saying, I think based on who we've spoken to so far, I think Judith probably had to make the most of a change from her normal accent to the kind of accent
she
had to have for the show.
It's funny, I was thinking about that when it came down here today, and I was thinking how funny it would be if you started meeting the cast and all speaking like that, you know, and everyone had to, you know, we're actually putting on these Glaswegian accents.
Yeah.
I mean, funny thing, there was a real mix of East Coast and West Coast that we broke that.
Yeah.
Tony and Cora, of course, kept these post accents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is great. Because if they were going to try and pretend to be Glaswegian, or vice versa, you know what I mean? It would jar.
Mm-hmm.
But you never thought so. This couple's probably moved from Edinburgh. Or whatever.
Yeah, Fifer kind of accent. I'm thinking you wanted one.
Aye, they were. I think they're both.
Tony first one I said.
Aye.
Yeah, they're both for Glenrothes.
Aye. Aye, you're right. And I'll find sorry. It's the absolute.
Ah, same thing. So the East Coast. I said Edinburgh. I think the whole West Coast is the same, so they'll go the same way. The accent, she said she had to really kind of work on that to make it sound genuine because she was brought up in the West End and
it's a very different. She's an absolute West End girl,
aren't you? Aye.
And a jazz singer and everything else.
Yeah,
she's
really talented.
Yep.
Fabulous. Unbelievable.
When did you, I mean, obviously you've done more stuff. We're going to talk primarily about High Times, obviously, but you've been acting, according to your IMDb anyway, which isn't always perfect. The first thing I think you appeared in was in like 1991, something like that. I wish I could remember.
I think 92 or something.
Something like that.
I was 29 when I started acting. So then I'd done, I did a lot of theatre before.
Uh-huh. Right.
I never went to drama school. But I don't consider myself an untrained actor. I mean, some would say that I've went to drama school, I don't have a degree, therefore I'm untrained. But I've done a lot of drama workshops and I took it very seriously. Done some great plays, worked with some great directors. But never what you'd call professional theatre. Well, I did a lot of acting with David Mackay, actually.
Yeah.
It's a play that's Scotland supports with the Tartan Army.
I think I'd heard about that. Was it?
No, I think you're probably thinking about the Orange Walk thing that
John Morrison had said.
Billy Connolly. Was it any other Sunday?
Just another Saturday. And as I say, I took it very seriously. Then TV came on, reasonably quick. Well, I auditioned for the comedy at the BBC. Ron Bain there, his father, was my first TV. The comedy unit was really influential, actually, back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And stuff. Naked Video, Naked Radio, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I'd done a TV series called Bad Boys, which was a BBC series, which was enormous. It was like £400,000 an episode, £500,000 an episode, short film, and went network. But it got panned, absolutely. It was Ian Patterson, perhaps Ian Nesbitt writer, wrote it.
Yep.
He wrote the, you know, and there was other writers involved, but Alec Norton, you know, Taggart, was the lead in it. Well, and Carol Howman, who used to be in a thing called Brush Strokes years ago, he was a Cockney guy. A gangster thing, a comedy gangster thing. So that had quite a good profile. I'd done a lot of films. I used to say I'd done small parts in big films and big parts in small films. I'd done a lot of short films. I did even speak at short films, you know.
The first short film that we had seen
Brian Cox in.
Was the one with John Rooney, The Blackout.
Blackout.
Which is brilliant, you pretty much. I mean, that's clearly where the Tex character was born. And he spends it's pretty much his whole time out. And I like how he kind of overreacts a bit, you know, that nearly killed me!
I spoke in great depth to John Rooney about that, right? Because Blackout was essentially a pilot, really, in some ways. My dilemma was, why does the guy not just wipe the bin bag off the car and drive away?
Aye.
So it had to be a reason for him to be so anxious. So I had a habit of creating backstory. So my backstory was that he wanted insurance money, he wanted to claim insurance.
Right.
And also, what's the guy that is doing delivering Chinese food?
It's kind of sad when you see it.
So then I like to think I found my pathetic bone when I came through this. I found that I played pathetic quite well, but in the sort of true sense of the word, not in the I always felt it was a bit of insecurity. So I made this story up that he had probably was on his third wife. I also then decided he was in a band because he also had to be somewhere else. John started going, it's like me as if he'd talk to him. I had to make it make sense to me. So I had this idea that he really wanted insurance money, but he also had a gig,
right?
It had to be a gig. At that point, it was a controversy, I think. And there's a bit of improvising in that.
Blackout
a lot of improvising in it. But it was also brilliantly written script. And I see a lot of improvising, there's a lot of swearing and improvising. And there's a bit when the policeman comes, and I say to the guy playing the policeman, I'm going to say something to you, just ignore it when I say it. And he went, alright. And then I said, I've got a gig. And they hope they'll go, all right, you're in a band now. And he just carries what he just ignores. And for some reason, I don't know why, I kind of really quite like things like that. Because it means nothing really to
anybody. Absolutely.
So you watch it with a wee sense of satisfaction.
It's okay, it was just the fact that this guy's got a kind of ego and goes, I've got a gig. Oh, you're in a band now. Just fucking ignores it, carries off the cameras.
Which a cop would do, no doubt.
In Blackout, the last night shoot, the light was coming up, and the script editor came to me and said, can you stop swearing as much, right? I was very anxious, I got quite annoyed, but I've tried to explain to you. My character's meant to get more and more anxious all the time. I said, so my swearing has been building up with anxiety. You now tell me the height of anxiety, don't swear anymore, and the character's sweeping. This was absolutely freaking out, you know. That was brilliant. That was all night shoots, like in Dunlamont, where it's filmed, as you know. It was really sad as well. There's loads of kids running about with 11 o'clock at night. It's mental, because the flats weren't as empty then. When we shot High Times, it was in a different flat actually. There were far less people about.
Yeah.
Far less, there's only like a couple of people left in those flats. You know?
Carolyn had mentioned it in the last episode and said that there was incidents where one of the junkies that lived there threatening to stab her with a needle if he didn't get £50 off her every day. Working around that can't be the easiest a lot of the time.
I've done it a few times actually, in different places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the scams at locals clubs are unbelievable. There's loads of well-known ones.
Aye.
In fact, I was doing one of John wrote a film called Love's a Four-Letter Word.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in that first year filming. A junkie came in and showed up we were filming and demanded he said he hadn't been paid that day. And I'm like, there's been any extras. Absolutely no extras used. Nothing. I've not been paid and all that, shouting and bawling and security attention. But Carolyn, didn't come for just that, actually.
Uh-huh.
I was a four-letter old, it was good. That was all right, actually.
Uh-huh. And you just kind of come up with a scam to just kind of try and get the money out.
Years ago I heard about guys who were scaffolding, they had trucks full of scaffolding, they start putting scaffolding up during the night.
Right.
And then the crew say, you can't do that, we need to rest on for the morning. And then they say, well, you need to cover our wages and all that. And then just go away with the scaffold. That's genuine stuff that's happened in the past.
Ah. See if they put as much kind of innovation in there, they actually get a job.
Getting a real job, aye.
Another one is people just queue up at the food club, you know. All of the such and such. You get to know.
Fair dues with that, eh?
Aye.
I mean,
the thing is, eventually, that'll, like, depending on where you're filming, the producers and that'll know it's just part of the course at some point. It's like,
aye,
you're going to give away some fucking free food.
And producers also use local security.
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye. Local security is a loose term for gangster. Sorry, I'll cut that out. Okay, I'll cut that out. So you are actually, by memory, the first person to appear on screen in the entire series.
That's right.
You kicking the car door open, slept in the motor. So immediately you get an idea who Tex is.
Beautiful boots.
Oh, aye. Those were nice boots. Did you keep them?
They were yours?
Aye. Fucking brilliant.
Do you actually like country music then?
I do actually. I did a lot. And yeah, I've had a lot of cowboy shots, don't I, David?
Yeah.
I love cowboy shots.
Ah. I'm going to throw out a wee question here. We can cut it out if the answer's no. But with you being into country music, did you go and see kind of country, like local country bands on wee nights and stuff like that?
I went to Grand Ole Opry once for a bit of research, for something else.
I was just wondering if you ever seen my uncle's band. He's away now, so I was just wondering. He was in a band called Ramblin' Fever. It was a four-piece. They just did covers. But they were good back in the day. They toured all over the country.
I've never read it a lot, you know what I mean?
Cut it out. We're not cutting out.
I remember with John, I came up with this thing about a guy being in the country. I remember seeing John get a wee chat. It was after the read-through.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was that Blackout or was that?
Yeah, we heard there was actually
Blackout.
But
I wonder if the country music thing was there. But no, that for me the country music thing was quite important again because a lot of pathos.
Mm-hmm.
Country music and that kind of
aye.
You know, kind of tragedy. But it's funny stuff as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of the thing that links both you and Cora's character together was the love of country music. So you're delivering a Chinese to her fella discovering that, oh well, wait a minute. Because the first time you actually see Tracy on screen, there's country music playing in the background, and that's her mum.
That's right,
of course. That. See, that's the clever wee things.
Quite risky things that you wouldn't do now.
Oh, that goes through with it saying, but anyway.
That's something we'll come to later.
We'll get to that.
So how did you get involved with Blackout and High Times? Obviously, the High Times would have came, like, not, well, basically as a direct result of Blackout, I'd assume. Or did you have to audition again?
I think I met John Rooney through Vincent Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I think that? Because right now I don't see the link that much. I don't know. I don't have a clue how I ended up black.
He just blacked out.
I really don't. I think I did. I think I auditioned for it.
It was mentioned that one of the other people that was up for the role of Tex was Gavin Mitchell. He was up for Tex as well.
Did you know? Bobby the Barman, can you imagine that?
I never knew that.
The thing is, if you look at Bobby as Bobby the Barman with a mullet mm-hmm. and the denim and all that, it could have worked. You did it better. You did it better.
I can't imagine that. You know Gavin, he would have... he'd have been good for that.
Not as good as you, but you fucking nailed it.
I like to think I created the character.
You did. Like, who's this John Comerford guy?
I used to have that one's t-shirt, and I don't know what happened. I loved that one's the Chinese t-shirt.
Oh, aye. What was written on it? Was it the name of the Chinese?
Lucky Star.
Just generic Chinese restaurant.
I can't remember who designed that. It was one of the costume girls' boyfriends or something. Weird one.
It was a very orange t-shirt.
I loved it.
I was
kind of slim. People kept saying, your hair's dark in it. My hair was actually quite grey. But it was short. It was gelled.
There was elements of grey in it, for sure. Your character always reminds me a little bit of my dad.
It reminded all my cousins of my dad.
Right.
Wow. That's the first time my dad didn't see it. That was one of the great regrets. Because he would have loved it.
Mm-hmm.
He would have loved it. But oh my gosh, John, that's just your dad. And I remember watching it once, and it was actually seen when I take my trousers down and examine my penis. And I thought, that's my dad here. Just the shape, my shape. My dad was a lot taller, a lot more handsome.
That's the beauty of John's writing, is like every character in that show reminds you of someone you know.
Jimmy Grant, who was, you know, the old day. John Morris's dad, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
he was my dad's double when my dad was ill.
Aye.
And he walked in the room, I honestly got, it was like a shiver ran right through me.
Aye.
I then made a film about my dad and Jimmy played my dad in it.
Wow.
So I got Jimmy to play my dad in the short film.
Mm.
He was five in it. He played the wee boy. John Hanna was in it. You know John Hanna then?
Oh, aye.
So John played the kind of wee character, if you like. Jimmy played my dad.
Yep. So did you direct this?
We need to check it.
I wrote it and directed it.
What's it called?
It's called Stone, Stone.
Right.
And can we find that
on YouTube?
I will definitely check that on YouTube.
It's two halves on YouTube. It's absurd. Craig Armstrong composed the music for it. Do you know Craig Armstrong?
No, it's not one of
them. Craig Armstrong done music for Moulin Rouge.
Oh, right.
The Gatsby, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's a Glaswegian from Shelton East End.
Right.
He's one of the biggest film composers in the world.
Wow.
He's just done a Disney film, new Disney film.
Mulan?
No, it's Ivan or something.
Ivan the Great. It's about the gorilla with Bryan Cranston.
Right. I was about to say, I mean, if you've done the music for Mulan, that's like the only decent thing about it.
He's done music for this. Elizabeth Golden Age, he's done music for the Batman film.
Brilliant.
He's done tons. I mean, he's world renowned. Anyway, I got him to do the music for the film. But Jimmy was like, first time I showed my mum a rough cut of the film, she watched the first minute and a half and started crying. Went, she just couldn't watch it at all because it was lines in it my dad said.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy lived in London. Mm-hmm. Well, Jimmy's dead now. But to get him up from London, or to tent him up,
mm-hmm.
I gave him money. And I said, I'd take him to a Celtic game. He was a big Celtic fan. And I don't mean get schmaltzy, you know, but I was regretting never taking my dad to a Celtic game, because when we boys used to say, you take me to games, you grow up, never did. But I took Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really quite emotional, actually. And he knew it'd be the last time we'd be a Park kid. And we were, before he left, he just came a minute, he just stood at the front of the stadium and I just gave him his wee bit. And then he wasn't dying or anything, but he was an old man.
Yeah.
And he was back to London, you know.
That's amazing.
The great old guy, actually.
Share that.
And he gave him a nice wee finger.
And he was really good as well on the show.
He's bloody brilliant. He was an old actor. He was in the Sunset Song, the original film. which is Lewis Classic Given. It's a classic Scottish thing, but he's famous for that.
I love the part where he smacks Alison Peebles, and then as John walks in, he's like, "Did that bastard do that to you?"
The thing is, it's funny, but it's tragic as well. It's so accurate.
I knew people with the that felt that it was Alzheimer's, was it?
Yeah.
Was portrayed very well.
Mm-hmm.
I knew people who had new people with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And they'd done it justice.
Yeah.
Which is really important. You can't go between conditions like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and not do it justice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not take it very, very seriously.
That's right. Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's a testament to the writing as well, but the performances, mm-hmm. real, the performances for everybody in the show complement the writing perfectly. I mean, there's like one. This is one of your lines that he always says: "Is stick it up your fucking cul-de-sac." it looks like it rolled off your tongue like you say that every day of the fucking week.
Flat up your cul-de-sac. another of my favourites. So when Jimmy's sitting playing the guitar and you're like, "That's what you call a bum note."
I like to think you really farted there.
I don't know what I do. It's a funny story. I had to fart and I'm quite a windy person, but the fart on demand is quite cool. So we're sitting in the, you know, the eating our dinner and eating our lunch in the sort of coach thing. And one of the brothers goes, "Joe, that's the fart tape.
I can say it farts on it. I get that for you every day.
It farts on it. And then me, Wally Harris, who is that? Me, this guy, Wally, I think it was Wally. And a few of us, but it's when somebody had a car, we had cassette, Wally's Harris, car tape. We put the table on the floor, I said, like this, he goes, and then he's like, "What?" And he goes, so they start, and he take like the first one, and we were like, the floor's not actually tears again. The funniest thing is that then gradually the laughter dissipated, and it was, became dead silver. No, that's quite wary.
That's a bit wary.
Just serious analysis.
Dissecting it.
That's a big guy's fart.
But I don't feel that one would come to text.
Well, that's the one. That very you.
That's not enough for a bundle.
Realistically, you should have just got one of those, you know, that thing that's on Home Alone, the wee cassette tapes where he talks to it. I just recorded your head fart. Really, yeah.
Perfect. You wouldn't have the quality, though. The top boys were terrible. The quality was shite.
The quality was shite.
I walked into that one.
Oh, man.
Honestly,
I'm not to get 4 sitting in this guy's BMW. Listen to fart. Can you imagine somebody walking past it and seeing 4 guys seriously analysing a tape of fart? It's like the X Factor.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it's a no from me.
It's an absolute gift to be able to fart. Just to ask you a character to do this.
Oh man!
Yeah. It was the double lift. I mean, you just lifted your entire body up.
It almost looked like you were struggling to kind of get it out. You had to kind of get your leg and kind of.
It's stuff on here, some people go, "No, the lean."
I know the lean. The lean.
Usually I'm not. I'm accused
of it. You see people do it. So do you fart? No, well, your chair's fucking rotten.
The lean. I love this. We need to create a poster that just has like an analysis of the fart on it. Oh man. I just love the idea of 4 guys sitting like critiquing fart, a tape of farts.
That's a good living.
That's really the way it gets. It's like, you see, in comedy particularly, you see about a really serious debate
mm-hmm.
about something that's
meant to be funny.
Essentially going to be very, very funny.
Yep. you would have spent most of your time on that show acting with Cora and Paul McComb. Mm-hmm.
There's a few actors I've never worked with at all on it.
Who
worked with the boys.
That's right, because they didn't tend to come.
There's some stuff at the door.
It was just the delivery.
And the blackout, I suppose they walk past and you kind of chat a wee bit, but that's right, unfortunately. That seems to be
there's little groups of dynamics, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's how life really is. You don't know everybody just because somebody you know knows them, you know what I mean? It's good as a good bit of realism that's left out of soap operas and stuff. Soap operas, everybody knows everybody. They all interact all the time. And they're all at the pub all the time for some reason in soap operas. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it never works. It's a weird thing. So working with the two most of the time, how was that for you?
Paul and I got on brilliantly. I loved him a bit. Mm. And then we still used to keep in touch with a bit of stuff, you know. But I really like Paul. Mm. We could have had it all off, I think.
You could see that chemistry on screen. Until you sniffed his burnt Snickers.
A wee bit of me wanted to see the punch, do you know what I mean? The punch happens off camera.
I know.
A wee bit of me wanted to see it.
You know the line I said in that?
Aye.
It wasn't in the script, didn't
it? Aye, we heard that. I don't think John Rooney was that.
He was the two of that.
No, I was fuming.
Were you fuming as well?
It's a funny story, actually. No, John Rooney was not happy.
I told him.
And that's not being a snitch. Callan Sinclair said to me, there's a thing in it, John, that I really didn't think would work. And I didn't want it in it, but you made it. Would you call it? She said to me, you've done it so beautifully and made it work. And I was like, what bit was that? She says, maybe you sniff the pants and you say, the fannies are great, aren't they, or something?
Something like that. Fannies, they're just fannies brilliant. Or something like that.
That's the thing about fannies. They're brilliant.
I mean, surely that's not in it. She said, yeah, you know, I said I didn't want in it. That was just a practical joke for the director's benefit, for Davey's benefit.
Uh-huh.
Davey saw it in a toilet wall, written in a toilet wall.
That's funny.
And it was a kind of wee joke he had between him and his girlfriend or something. Mm. You see, I've only done that once, that take. All the other takes was just the fans.
Yeah.
And he said it was as a laugh. And I'd done it and they kept it in. I don't mean to sound sort of too serious, but I feel it said it takes when they say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel he wasn't sleazy, I feel quite strongly about this, that he was bit of a ladies man and all that, but he wasn't as sleazy.
Aye.
And I felt just so sad, I don't feel John Rooney, he's fuming. Aye. So we're going to a party the next night.
This is Davey's engagement party.
Oh, we heard about that.
And John said he was going to have a serious word with him. And I walked in ready for this confrontation. And John, I started laughing. They're like, what's the matter with this? That's fine, just leave it on. All right.
It too, you bastard, it too.
And then it's a line, I mean, the guy shouted it to me in a garage.
See,
seriously. And then I remember it was me and his wife, my ex-wife, were having a bit of an argument. And I kind of went up the pub, a kind of rough local pub up in Mayhill. I'm not stopping it, I'm standing there fuming. This guy goes, oh, you sniffed the pants and hi, Tim. That's what I thought that. So it was kind of.
That's the thing about being an actor, right? Just one wee line or something simple.
Well, thankfully, I mean, there's obviously being Ford Kiernan or something, you're going to get an awful lot of that.
Yeah.
You don't do that every time he does anything.
I can imagine. to speak on behalf of someone watching it, I love that bit. I had me pissing myself. I was like,
to be honest, when it was broadcast, I mean, okay.
I suppose when you're in the thick of it and you're trying to kind of become this character.
It would still have worked without it. It was so euphoric. It was so euphoric. It was like you're taking a snort of fucking DMT or something. It was just like.
I took a tantrum because they were clean.
It's like, did you know I dipped it in fish paste or something?
The cool thing about it though, really, is that at that point where you've kind of been caught. It's like, well, I'm here anyway. What can you really say? I might as well just say the first thing that comes to my head, you know. And I thought that was quite, for me, I really enjoyed that.
I'm glad you said no.
Aye.
To be honest, I totally.
Aye, in hindsight, yeah. Aye. I mean, it is one of those, there are many moments of that show that you, like, you know, if I go to someone, you need to watch High Times, which is something I've been saying a lot recently. I say, you need to watch High Times and explain these characters.
Stephen. I want to say, I don't want visual. I just saw that.
Between that and rolling a doobie on the Bible. Aye. But these are the things that we kind of. This is how you sell the show to people. I'm like, you need to watch it. There's these characters in it. And I always say about the sniff in the pants, you know, the whole, you've never gave me an orgasm and how long we've been together. Didn't they get you wanted one? Right? So just all that stuff is just proper banter. It's a shame that it's not more recognised, like stuff like Still Game is, you know, Gone In All Day, that, and For Yoga, right?
I mean, others have probably said to you, if 10 you put it out, it was just unbelievable. It was half 10.
It was half 10, 11, was it on a Tuesday night or something as well?
I think it was a Thursday. Most people would just go to their bed.
Aye, that's true.
They don't even want to watch something like that.
There's
a whole load of stuff. I mean, how long it took to make the second series?
Yeah.
How long it took them to put it out?
To make it, even to
commission it. Make it.
We've had kind of two conflicting things, right? So there's a lot of people... a lot of the actors and cast and John Rooney himself feel that it wasn't treated the way it really should have been. But then Carolyn, on the other hand, who was in the thick of it, says, you know, they had it on their boards that they actually absolutely adored the show. Do you know what I mean?
Inside the building, probably.
Aye.
No one's allowed in there. It's yellow security.
it's one of those things which is quite a shame that it's not something... Like I said, when the adverts went out, My mates and I were quoting it to each other, so it had something there. And I was probably about 17.
Some people at the time compared it to Shameless.
It is really that. Do you know what it is? I think it would be our. It's a Scottish Shameless without the grittiness.
Sometimes Shameless.
Shameless would go somewhere that High Times wouldn't, for sure. But they do have elements of each other. Just Shameless is more. You're gonna get real scummy stuff in Shameless, but with High Times it was more real.
One of the things that I liked, and I said it to you before, I was at first I said I think there's two folk in the programme that you shouldn't like, and it's Tex and Janet for what they've done. But when you watch it again, you're like, they're no bad people.
I feel very strongly about
them. Not one of them is a bad person.
I didn't think it takes for a bad person.
No, absolutely not. Because we actually had that debate. Because we said, who's the dickhead in it? And you were like, I think Tex is character. But I was like, no, really. When you look at
I think that's it's the obvious choice.
Aye.
I played that character a few times. I played that character in Never City, really.
Aye.
No, just as a kind of a womanizer, but a likable guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always felt that in Never City as well. So. You're a sleazebag, no? It's not a sleazebag.
Well, I mean, look at the pros and cons.
He was driven by insecurity.
Aye.
Me getting that stupid analytical way, but he was driven by his insecurity. He wasn't driven by confidence.
No.
He was driven by a lack of confidence.
I think he hid behind that.
A lot of people.
I think he hid behind that bravado of being a guy as well.
Absolutely.
And if you look at, when you actually look at, if we're going statistics here, right, he'd done a lot more decent things than they did. Both circumstance led him and Janet's character to come together, right? And something that they both were not that sure about, because Tex didn't exactly like, come on, and he even says it, I don't remember twisting your arm, right? And when you look at what Tex actually does, he sets Janet up after her life kind of goes down the shitter. He's not, as much as he's still quite boyish and being like, you know, we should do this, he still gives her boundaries. There comes Tex offered his money to set her up. When Jimmy's got other plans, after it all kind of goes, you know, in order to spare how Jimmy feels, to save him that guilt, he goes and sleeps in his car, but pretends he's staying somewhere else. He's not a bad guy.
No,
circumstances.
I did feel very strongly about
it. It's true to life.
I think it's because I didn't want to dislike the character either.
Right, aye.
I mean, I think that said the other play, doing a play about Scotland fans.
Mm.
If you play a serial killer, you'll empathise with some of the characteristics.
Yeah.
You know, the background or the, you know, backstory. I've led them there, could be very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't empathise with a Scotland fan at all.
Uh-huh.
There was nothing like about being a Scotland fan, because all you know is they get beat and then they sang songs and celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
That was difficult to play. So trying to find something in that to sort of, I don't relate to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas somebody like Tex, I could relate to no problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the latest thing I created a wee bit as well. John Rooney, of course.
I mean, that's the, like,
the great John Rooney.
What did you bring? Yeah, the great John Rooney. We'll say that again. What did you bring to it, like, from yourself? Like, was there any parts of you like, I need to put this into Tex? Apart from obviously the music and the boots.
Sex appeal.
Sex appeal.
The sadness. I thought he was pretty sad, aye.
There was an undertone of loneliness.
No, I think it was, when I say pathetic, I mean the true sense of it.
I mean, 43, sleeping on his nephew's couch.
I love his Elena thing.
Aye, wasn't he?
It was a third marriage.
My marriage was 400, actually. Uh-huh. It was an element of that,
wow.
to be honest. But enduring it, it was a lot of parallels, so we say.
Right.
I don't want to go there, I won't go there too much, but...
No, that's fine.
It was okay in the first season, it was sexy. If you look closely, you can see
it. I mean, you've
got a wee look in your eye.
There is a puppy dog kind of feel to Tex's character. It's like somebody...
That's what I'm saying. He didn't have a swagger.
No.
He had a bit of a pretend.
Mm-hmm.
He wore the gear.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't walk the walk, really.
Aye.
You know what I mean? There was that kind of arrogance. There was no arrogance there.
No.
What, that wasn't much of
no.
No, he just floated by.
He delivered some of the funniest moments as well in High Times. Just even when he's sitting there eating the prawn crackers. and you can hear McTony's like, I ordered it an hour ago! And then your phone goes and he's just like, I'm coming!
As a
fat boy's wanting his dinner! And you put his prawn crackers back in the bag!
it's the wee details.
Yeah,
that's
John Rooney's detail.
Yeah.
That's what I forget about. I think
I missed
14 those little details.
Unbelievably,
that was one of the again first episode. You meet Tony on the stairs. You meet Frank on the stairs, and I didn't even get the fact that Frank was knackered going downstairs until about four episodes in, and you told me, and I was like, oh,
I didn't really get it. I was in the scene.
See, I thought you looked downstairs and he was gone. Just gone. Where the fuck did he go?
Because he was knackered.
So I had to stop for a breather.
He's poised.
I'm good. I'm alright at that.
There's a.
Did you spoke to Tony?
Not yet.
No. I sent him an initial text message. He said that he was going to do it, and Stephen gave us his number, but I've not had anything back from him yet. I'll keep trying.
One of the good things that we've realised as well, we've spoke to quite a majority of the cast now. Everybody has such a love for each other still. It's like it's like a band that got together.
Since I talked to you today, I said we were going to do this, and they said, "And do you think you still got on with Cassie?" I went, "Everyone got on with me. I'm still close."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's something like I said, hearing that time and time again. But I mean, even going back to you, we've spoken to a lot of people on it now. But even wee Robin, who played Baby Chloe, she reached out to us as well.
Yes.
She's 16 now.
And she plays...
She's a musician.
She's actually an incredible singer. Have you heard any of her music?
No, not
she's
yet.
She's actually really, really talented, and she plays piano and guitar as well. She's super talented. And she's actually from the same place as the McCall brothers.
Casper.
Mm-hmm. And her agent is Alan McCafferty's mum.
Mm-hmm. Anne McCaffrey's mum. Mm-hmm. I forgot that. I think she was an agent.
Crazy. These are all still kind of interlinked.
Talk to Alan.
No, well, I've been texting Alan. Fingers crossed we get something set up with him. But, you know, he's one that we really would love to speak to as well. Because his character as Jake as well. Again, like almost like Tex, is a puppy dog. There's a puppy dog element. Do you know, I've always said that his character would have been better off in life had he not met Rab.
That's the dynamics, isn't it?
His parents would have told him to stay away from that Rab Campbell.
The ideal scenario is we get the two of them together for
that'd be amazing.
One episode.
The boys are the core. They're the core of the programme. Yeah. I don't want to say the boys, but Alan and Paul.
Yeah.
The programme involved in that.
Aye. They could have been a spin-off on that. That's a Kevin and Perry Large kind of thing.
I was talking that one.
That'd have been amazing. Well, that was actually a script that we got sent by John Rooney not too long ago. Yes, have you read it?
No.
Oh my God, that's John sent it to you. It's unbelievable. I was
pissed
myself.
I need to get back in touch with Jordan, actually.
Aye.
He's, do that.
He plays a lot of golf. I've been chatting with him recently. Aye. Good guy.
He's
a good golfer.
Well, but the amount of times he plays it, I can't imagine that he's not.
He plays it at Bishop Briggs, doesn't he?
Is that where he plays? That's where my wife's from.
Nice. But John, for such a writer, that's just for a writer that gets it right.
She's changed his stuff. I've lost a lot of
it. Oh well, I can give you. We'll check, make sure it's the right one. But for a writer that's so talented, and anytime anybody talks about High Times, the first thing they'll bring up is just what a genius writer he was.
Absolutely,
still is. It would be amazing to see him doing more, but I think he kind of got a bit of a bad taste in his mouth.
He did some River City as well.
Aye, that's right.
Yeah.
Would be amazing to see, like, to see John do more High Times. Obviously, it did end after Series 2. Where did you see Tex going from Series 2? I couldn't imagine he'd end up with Janet. That was definitely not a
chance.
Keeper. That was a...
I don't know. Is it Janet? Did she get a new house?
Yes, she got it.
It was through Texas Psycho.
Crazy messy, man.
How should we go in on Thursday night?
Aye. Mm-hmm. We've heard that she's actually good pals with Cora.
It's my best mate's girlfriend.
Nay way. And she's good pals with Cora still, right?
Aye.
Because they were sharing a flat together.
Aye.
At that time.
Yeah. Oh, then
she was telling us how both of them were naked putting on fake tan.
I see her with these. All the time.
Aye.
All the time.
Wow.
She's a great fella.
That's brilliant. Do you ever talk about High Times? Do you talk about it as a song?
I said you guys were doing this.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That'd be awesome. We could kind of
she'd be a great chat.
Oh, absolutely.
I've heard chat with you. She's just great. Yes,
see, we've kind of stuck pretty stringently to the main cast, but it could be. But she's very memorable because she was fucking bananas. and you're just like, all right then.
It's like you want me to go, sir? No, I'll phone you a taxi.
that was funny.
We'll do this again sometime.
Oh, aye.
So I just go brush my teeth. Remember that? I'll get a drink of water or something like that.
Aye, that's the fun thing. You kind of see them in the text.
She's wearing the Google hat.
It's that shag pad you've got, that fucking red velvet room.
The mirror on the ceiling.
That must have been half the budget for the episode, that room. You do get the wee incidental characters that come in and make a big impression, and she was definitely one of them.
The cop boy.
Aye. The, what's his name again? It's
Bible Pastor
Tracy's fella.
That's right.
What was his name again?
Kyle,
that's it.
Kyle. He was a knob.
And he got her out. If he was going to get you a rape alarm, he could have engraved it. he was brilliant.
He was so good. It was when Stephen just kicked him in the arse.
What did you think about the dynamic between Tracy and Stephen? Well, Tracy and...
That was risky, actually.
I think
I thought the game was very well done. The Scrabble game was.
Oh, I was pissing myself. Kitty Fiddler. And on the news, it's like a man was shanked to death and scalped. For touching children. And he's like, do it!
That's good.
I think it was.
This was one of my favourite lines. It was when it was Alan had said to. I keep saying their real names. Jake had said to.
Rab.
He's like, so if she stays here the night, and he's like, can she fuck? It's just like the complete. It's just a natural way you would say something like that if you were worried. about your situation and where it might go. It kills you, fuck.
There's no thought processes.
Aye, just boom, nah.
I think, do you know, a lot of credit goes to Stephanie's character Tracy as well, because there's a certain maturity about that wee girl in that show when she's young. There's a real maturity about her that doesn't, when she's with Rab, you don't notice the age difference. Do you know what I mean? And we see her more than anybody evolve from series one to series two. She kind of gets a, you know what I mean?
What was her real age again? Was she?
She was maybe 15.
Yeah, but she's 18. She was 18 or 19 or something.
Ah, well, like, I think she was like 15 in the show.
I know, in the show.
I'm sure she's kind of 31, 32 now. So aye, that'd have been, she'd have been about 18.
She's older than that.
There's a thing about the girls on High Times, man. None of them have aged, right?
That's true, by the way.
Unbelievable.
It's true. all the guys look old as fuck.
God, we even were.
It's been successful.
No, honestly, we've spoken to pretty much all the females in the pub, bar Stephanie, and we've done Zoom calls with them. And Alison as well looks younger now than she did on the bloody show. I was like, what?
It's madness.
Yeah.
I don't know, it must have been good.
No, the guys
good caring,
really.
No.
But
Paul was sporting a very, very lockdown beard when we spoke to him.
He actually insulted his hairdo from series two. Which you done?
I said, because I think Paul had asked us, he's like, do you think the show's kind of dated? I said, it's fine apart from your fucking hair. He was like, shut it, you dick, I love that. I was blonde and short.
You always think Kurt Cobain look a bit.
Aye, that's right, aye.
Yeah.
Aye. And he done it, sang a song for them.
That's right, aye. I mean, pretty much all the guys and girls in that show are musically talented. Do you do any music?
Not at all.
Yourself, no?
I love music.
Yeah.
But I don't have any musical talent whatsoever.
You're just good with the scissors then?
Aye.
So becoming a barber, was that something you'd done previous?
Hairdresser. Since I was 16.
Since you were 16, right, so that was already a thing, yeah.
Aye, absolutely.
Aye, because, I mean, I think you'd done, was it just Paul's hair on the show?
Yeah.
Aye. I mean, I noticed that Judith actually had set a different hairdo in the second series. Did you ever do that?
No, nothing to do with it.
Do you know she actually looks like that now? I suppose you've done it now, right?
Aye.
She looks like second series.
No, I think this was during lockdown, so she'd done it herself.
Right,
she looked just like the wee short kind of.
I know Judith's dad and you are a lovely, lovely mum.
Aye,
she's sadly lost her mum, but a really lovely family.
Judith was really nice. We had a good long conversation with everybody. I mean, all you guys on that show, just brand new people. It's really nice folk. Yeah?
I think you just because. I mean, you see people on TV and people in films, and you just assume that they're a different breed altogether. But then you meet them, like yourself, you're just folk, and it's something that it constantly surprises us.
I follow a couple of well-known well-known actors, and people will meet them and say, he just talks to me, didn't he, quite the thing? I'm like, what the fuck did you expect of me?
It's true, we expect them to walk in with like a fucking beanie light behind them and stuff.
I'm really part of the joint, playing Dr. Phil, that's the name of Dr. Phil, but people actually say to me, he's quite down to earth, he's like a normal person. I'm fucking right. So I'd be wafted in a pillow and smoking, with a cape on and a cigarette.
I reached out to John's agent about coming on the podcast a while ago. I think it was actually when I reached out to Stephen as well, because it was for the wee man.
Right.
That was what kind of brought my attention to it. And I just never heard anything back. I was like, bastard, I'd love to speak to John. Two thumbs up on that one.
I mean, it's been a real highlight for us to do this. I mean, because we watched High Times for the first time with adult eyes, as we are now, right? And, you know, I have watched that series, both series, 12 episodes, about 6-7 times.
Seriously?
Genuinely.
Oh, honestly,
you know what? Mate, and I can't even... There's not even a point where I get bored of it, or I'm like, oh, do you know what I mean? Sometimes you'll watch something and go, I'm not watching that again. Wife will say, let's watch this movie. I'm like, oh, I watched that about 4 years ago, it's too recent. This series, I can just binge. You know what I mean? I can just binge over and over again.
We've probably watched it more than you fucking acted in it.
it's well written. And
you quote lines to me in the text that I've never heard.
The way I love it as well, it's just, it's so real to what we are as Scottish people, right? The characters are so real. Their backstories are people we all know. They are us in certain many different ways, you know? And it's just kind of nice to see that reflected properly.
And it's quite a strong social statement as well. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. It shows you that there are people that live in these circumstances that want to get out of it, and there's people that are quite happy just in their wee
box. That's what was unusual, I think, is it wasn't shot. There's no studio work.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on location.
And each of us had their own flat.
Aye.
They weren't all changed about. That was their house.
You had your Ponderosa.
And eventually.
It was one of those things, isn't it? With regards to the way Tex kind of carries himself in the first series and the second one, there's not a lot of changing in the way that he kind of goes. Like, you kind of see all the different characters kind of move. Tex kind of stays kind of true to who he is without being, like you say, that sleaze. I think for us it was kind of...
If you think he was sleazy, it's fine by me.
No, but... It comes straight up. You do. If I was to describe Tex, we'd say, okay, the sleazy one. But when you really dissect it,
I thought of him as, you know, like a local social club,
mm-hmm.
like a miners club, or a
mm-hmm.
guy,
you know, the Royal Legion or something like that, the RAF club or something. Mm-hmm. The guy over there that thinks he's God's gift, and he's getting on a bit, and he dresses the way he used to dress years ago. He's really like him with that. I think he's like that local Lothario.
Everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows him.
At the social club, you know.
And he probably does deliver Chinese.
Well, that's what he says to Janet. Aye. Another film, some documentary or something.
Paul delivered Chinese, did he?
Did he? Aye.
Paul delivered Chinese.
I don't think he mentioned that.
I know.
Years ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
I know when we spoke to John. Remember we spoke to John and
he'd
done it the night before we spoke to him. John Rooney.
Honestly.
He was helping a mate. Aye. I get it. I don't know if a mate couldn't do it, and he was like, I'll do it for you. He's just delivering Chinese.
The Chinese that you were delivering in the show, was that actual, like, hot Chinese food, or was that...
Actually, there was...
It was hot after he pissed on it.
I was eating one, wasn't I?
I was
drinking lager at the same time.
Aye, because that's when...
I was doing it for real, and I was...
Aye.
That was very, very windy that night.
I was in that wee...
It was a new lager, it was an alcohol-free lager.
Oh, right.
I just kept drinking them.
Why would they give you... Is it because you have to drink a lot of it and retakes and stuff? Why would they not just give you a real lager?
No, I couldn't...
Just drink another go.
In case that affects your work.
Aye.
What, you play a drunk man and you are drunk?
No, I mean, you can always spot it. It's got a different fizz to it. You can spot it. I mean, it looks a wee bit watery and a bit more fizzy. Than proper beer.
Yeah, people drink whiskey, which is tea and stuff like that.
Aye.
What were some of your favourite stories from behind the scenes? From
behind the scenes? Jesus Christ.
This is where usually everybody's paused. Oh, God, it was like 15 years ago.
All they're going, I can't fucking
tell. I can't say that.
I don't... Nothing specific, apart from the fact it was just loads of fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of whinging. You can get a lot of whinging in the actor world.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was... No, there was we weren't paid a lot of money, you know that.
Oh, I need to get a job.
So everybody loved what they were doing, otherwise you wouldn't have done it. But I think it was notoriously the worst money anyone had ever worked.
That's sad.
Seriously.
That's sad.
And that featured in a newspaper, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it was so well paid. There was somebody from equity came out to see us and all that.
Did you see in the newspaper recently, this podcast was in the Daily Record? No. Talking about High Times, aye?
Didn't know that.
Aye. Basically, the Daily Record had covered what we're doing. In the hope that...
We're trying to get season 3 made. That's what I'm trying to do. Just to...
Yeah.
This is... It was
a new bunch of actors, of course.
Nope.
No, not at all.
This is...
real to life, which High Times is very much a real to life thing. Actors age, people age, so...
It's going to be hopefully it'll just kind of pick up where they would be now at this point.
But it was good.
So these wee questions, where do you think Tex would be now? This is just so we can tell John here.
Right, that's for him. The great thing about what we're doing here is we're kind of trying to highlight a show that needs, you know, something that shouldn't be sat in a dust.
I think showing it again would be a good thing.
Even that'd be a start.
Like I said, it is on the STV player, but there's
they could show it again, considered there's very few sort of.
We mentioned that in the actual article.
Exactly.
Said that in the article. All the good stuff that the buzz around like Still Game during the Fat, you've got the, what's the other one? Burniston and stuff.
Yeah.
They don't tend to make anything like that anymore. And we are missing that good Scottish gritty laugh out loud kind of series. And now more than ever, when everybody's at home and needs something to laugh about, right?
Yeah.
You know, High Times. And I've said to so many people, go home and check out High Times. Everybody that's watched it has come back to me and been like, bloody brilliant, I'm glad, how did I miss it? Do you know what I mean? It's the same. I've never had anybody go, I checked out, but it was shite. It's just not a thing.
Do you know
what I mean?
The problem is they seem to be kind of, they're devoting so much time to making dross, like absolute tripe there now, just where people can't be in the same room, and it's just, like, make this quick, get it out, where they could just go, listen, why don't we dig out something that's already there? And
yeah.
I think High Tide deserves a second chance.
I would 100% agree with you.
Yeah, that's again. It's something that we're hoping that the Daily Record exposure might kind of help as well.
I know that John Rooney would 100% love to do it.
Absolutely.
He's already said it. Everybody we've spoke to so far has all said that they would 100% be down for it.
He said John Rooney had said after speaking to us that basically it kind of let a wee spark under his arse.
I think Tex would be living in the south of France.
South of France. The Costa del Sol. I could see Tex.
I wasn't doing so.
Right,
I
could see.
Just say that a bit closer to the microphone.
He's on his seventh wife now.
Seventh
wife. She can't speak a word English.
Perfect.
Perfect for Tex. You could just imagine it, right?
Thank you, best of luck.
And it's good as well because everybody will have moved on in age as well, so it'd be quite amazing to see where their lives end up. On the previous episodes, I've kind of gone into a bit about how I would love to see them kind of come back together, and there's a way that it could be done, especially the way John Rooney writes this stuff, where it could be something amazing. And if everybody was just to check out the original,
it'll be in an old folks home.
Texty then patches himself. Still delivering Chinese.
But you're not quite there yet.
Obviously not. I think I probably know the right way to
make
me up. No.
No, I mean, I think it would be quite cool to almost have that reunion kind of thing.
I mean, it was a BAFTA winning show.
That's right.
Obviously. And it's something that normally...
That was a good thing.
Aye.
Let's
right.
go. No,
mate,
that's
I'm
just
going
to ask
story there. There's a story. The floor is yours.
It's literally his floor. Fucking hell.
I had to walk along a wall with my hands at the end of the night because I couldn't have a walk. My agent, I found her the next day, carried me into the house. She's tiny, tiny, from a taxi and dropped me on the floor. My ex-wife thought somebody, I think somebody, she could do something like that. I mean, I'm cool. Agent literally carried me and then just dropped it. Everybody that night, wow.
Well, I heard some good stories there.
They were saying, I think Ewan McGregor or something had won and he wasn't there, and John Morrison was like, where is he? Just a good piss up for an award.
Just nuts.
I mean, the show won quite a few awards, actually. I think that's the one that John Rooney's most proud of.
Aye, that's right.
Because that was quite a big
no,
deal.
No, he was, that's right. I had to go up with that and say that.
I mean, it's something, it's just the universe of what High Times is just something and that, you know, here's how we kind of got talking about High Times. When we had Stephen on the show initially, and he talked about it, we actually had him back on to talk about other things. So we put out a wee post to all our listeners saying, if you've got any questions for Stephen about anything he's worked on, give us your questions and we'll ask it for him. And the number one question people ask is, why was there never a Series 3 at High Times? And you know what I mean? That kind of speaks volumes as to how much people wanted that, you know? And people could kind of say, you know, oh, it's too long, I'm too old to play. That's a load of shite. The good thing about High Times is it was real. And it was real people age. So I think we could
it'd be interesting.
That, you know?
It'd be a great opportunity as well, fabulous. And again, for the quality of George's writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And all the actors, all you guys on it as well. I mean, look at who you are, a huge talented bunch. I mean, name one person on that show that didn't hold up to the story or to their own end, you know?
Yeah.
It was, you're all about a talented young bunch of people. And Stevens went off to do stuff, Paul. I mean, look at everybody, there's so many talented.
John described Alan Cafferty as like a Scottish Peter Sellers, said he was a genius. Again, really hoping to get to speak to him at some point.
Mm-hmm. He reminded me a bit of James Dean sometimes.
James Dean
could behave quite extremely. If you look at his early work, it's doing things that other actors wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Alan kind of done that.
Yeah.
Which was pretty amazing, actually. Do you notice that it tilts in his head and the mm-hmm. hair thing?
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes he would just like he would mumble a line instead of saying it, mm-hmm. you know, and it would just work for the scene. Aye. And stuff like that. And I happened to see the episode of Still Game that he was in the other day. I'd forgotten that he was in an episode of Still Game. He was the waiter that they had, and it was when they went to the town for their posh meal, and they didn't want to pay for it. And he was the waiter. It was like, I'll sort it out for you boys. And then just before he tore up the bill, he got the sack for smoking in the kitchen. And then like, £140 down.
aye, really good. That's a memorable scene. It's one people remember.
But it was funny. Just when I was watching that, I was like, that's fucking Alan. I had no idea. So somebody walked by outside, I think I was just pointing at him.
absolutely. Alan's he's really talented. I think Jake as well, that role is perfect for him. There was a very soft, like you want to sit down and give him a cuddle. It's kind of vibe to him.
Aye.
I like as well, he had his wee moments where he'd kind of shout back at Rab and you could really feel it. And do you know another thing? Of all the scenes in High Times, and I keep going back to it being how real it is, you remember that scene where Cora she's looking for Tracy's phone to try and find out where she is, she's proper worried. And the bit where Frank says something, have you checked yet? And the way she just launches her voice at him, that's something that happens on a regular basis with a wife, man.
In real life.
She's like, I've heard a fucking check. It's like, you don't see that in River City or EastEnders, do you know what I mean? But there you see something that's very real to life.
Aye. Again, just goes back to John's,
mm-hmm. John's and your guys' ability to pull that off.
I'm being allowed to, though. Yeah. I think I've been allowed to work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine.
Aye. I mean, it took years for the second series to come out. But was it filmed right after the first series? But then
it was
just
a year between, wasn't it? Was it a year between?
I thought it would be a bit longer.
Mm.
Dude, I just remembered something funny that happened when I was doing High Times. Something funny. That was for filming for 2 weeks. How did that work again? Anyway, I had a holiday booked. And I said I would cancel it then. They were going to fly me back from Portugal to do my stuff and then fly me back to the holiday, which was a strange one.
Right.
And then they said, well, actually just shift when you're doing the job, but do you mind not getting a suntan? So I totally forgot about that. So I went to Portugal, and then when I came back, I went straight to filming, but I don't take much of a tan.
Mm-hmm. You looked quite tanned in the show, like.
I kind of did. It's the second one I went to watch it. Because I had to wear pale makeup. Slightly. I did get a wee bit of a tan.
Uh-huh.
And I had to get a kind of bit of pale makeup. So I looked a wee bit done. Done up. I need to look back at that, actually. The second half of the second series.
Oh, right.
You can look at the doing Guava's just back to Portugal.
You also noticed in the last episode of the second series, I had an enormous sty.
Right.
And one of mine is I take mummies and makeup on that fix.
That bit when you had syphilis.
Let's go there. That was a storyline that I remember having a chat about as well.
I'm sure, did John mention that actually?
What?
That you were speaking to him at the time, just like, you can't fucking give me some fucking. Don't be shouting to me in the street.
There's something else to start with, actually. It changed to
something. God.
Come on.
It wasn't in that one.
Nah.
It wasn't, right.
It was herpes.
Herpes.
Well, it was just playing the sty of it, right? Just put some porridge around your mouth and let it dry.
He's could have just been syphilis instead, you
know. Please.
She's changing something. She's like, I mean, that was really good. Thanks very much.
Changed it. I mean, the good news is he didn't actually have it. It turns out that it was just
exactly.
A lie.
That's what he said. He was like, I bet 60, you haven't got that.
So I went for the couple of weeks off.
So when you're cutting your cut, I mean, you obviously will deal with the public daily. How often do people recognise you for High Times?
Not so much.
Is it more maybe River City or something like that?
It was for a bit, but I mean, even that, I didn't have the beard in River City and stuff like that. I have a beard most of the time. I didn't have a beard in River City. I'm talking about very short beard.
It was very unlikely. Cause see, to be honest, if I was walking by in the street, I'd probably have to take a second look now.
Yeah.
Just with your hair being longer now.
Ah, that sucks. We're locked down here.
Nice.
Yours usually just cropped. Somebody says I look basically like an actor. I mean, I wish I had it when I was acting.
You've got the Clive Russell.
I was just going to say that.
It's my Outlander look.
Right.
That's in the hope.
we spoke to Clive Russell.
He's a great big guy, isn't he?
Really nice.
He's a giant.
He is absolutely a giant.
He's not quite as big as Big Innes is supposed to be.
He's
big.
He is massive, but he's
tall and broad.
Such a really nice guy. He really was nice to us.
He gave us a lot. Even when we finished, it was just a quick interview we did with him on camera at a convention. And even once we stopped the camera, he stood and talked to us.
He was really interested.
He just talks away.
I mean, he did come in with us to smoke a cake, I mean, but after that. But he was a really nice guy. He was really interested in what we're doing with the podcast.
Good.
So we've kind of made sure it always keeps going. So we'll probably catch up with him another bit. But you and him kind of, you could play brothers. You'd be
brother
Jack. You'd be Victor. Right. No fat or that, like.
Fuck.
No
just
fat.
Keep digging, man.
It's smaller. Obviously not. So looking back on the show, I mean, would you say that's ranked up there with some of your favourite projects to work
absolutely.
On?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other favourite one is the one that people don't see, which is good short films.
Aye.
You know, another thing,
yeah.
In Scotland, people make a lot of great short films,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really get a platform.
You get festivals and that's
yeah,
quite
well,
much
I, mine's just in festival in Palm Springs, you know, in LA, and it was in Claremont Ferrone, Boulder, Colorado, that kind of thing, but it was never shown here.
Yeah.
Apart from a private screening. But that, I'm not just saying it's because of my film, but there's so many good short films in Scotland, and they should be screening them.
Do you know what? I think we should actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, but from where we're from, we actually partner with a local cinema. It's
mm-hmm.
not owned by a big conglomerate or anything. So
just a wee private cinema.
We actually get to screen, we've been screening movies from our childhood, Never Ending Story, Labyrinth, Oz, and we make money for this cinema. We make no money off it, but we make money for the cinema because they're local and we're bringing our audience there. We're just trying to keep a local cinema going because it's
where
not something you get, right?
Where is it actually brought?
That's in Bathgate. Right, so we do have access to a cinema. All the time, we've used it already for many different things. Jeetam Mac came over from LA, we filmed that there, we sold out two screens twice. So we're in good standing with that kind of thing, you know. And I was just thinking, with the amount of short films that's gone on, we should do like our own wee kind of festival of short films,
mm-hmm.
and make it available to the public where we screen. Because John Rooney, Steve McCall, they've all done
yes,
really,
you have.
Really good
yeah.
short films. And you know, what imagine you know, it's Saturday, you've got nothing to do, cinema's there. Come along, pay six, seven quid, and maybe meet some of the actors and the directors that done it. I mean,
sure. I mean, you could show 10 short films is about 200 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, at the festivals, you usually show 6, 7
mm-hmm.
films at a time. Sometimes a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're in there for the 2 hours or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some short films are 10 minutes. I mean, they vary length.
Yeah, for sure.
Enormously.
So, I mean, it could be something we're doing. Speaking of that same kind of setup, we have in plan to do a live reunion of High Times where we get the cast and stuff like guys like Davey and Carolyn and Justin. Reunite them together on a stage with the 4K cinema screen, maybe play a couple of episodes where it's an ultimate fan experience for everybody in Scotland that loves High Times to come, right, and meet you all. Not only that, though, but the fans get to witness you guys being together in the same room talking about High Times.
Talking shit.
Right? Hey, quit your jibber jabber, right? And everybody so far is up for it. I mean, the tickets will go on sale. It'll be a ticketed event and we can sell merchandise and stuff. But
would it be a huge money spinner, but it's a showcase for
what he's done, and it's love for the show, and you'll be surrounded by people that are there to see. You know what I mean? It's almost like a convention kind of feel to the High Times. So once lockdown is over and people can be in the same room again at the capacity it needs to be, this is something that we're definitely going to put together. That again was mentioned in the Daily Record. So, and you know, if you'd come along and join everybody, that everybody's agreed to do it.
Absolutely.
Because I'd love it.
No putting any pressure on you, but everybody else
has. Everybody else has, so you're kind of the dick.
I'm not
sure. There'll be plenty. There's a bar in there as well.
Oh,
so,
see, yeah.
So, you know, Duncan. But that would be amazing for just, you know, there's many different things we can do that night. You know, have, you know, just conversations like what we're doing now, but it'd be the audience that asks you the questions.
Nice.
They bring along their DVDs to get signed. Just we 8x10s and stuff, you know, the pictures and stuff. So you make more money on the fan engagement side than what you would on the door.
I don't know anybody would be
bothered. I don't get that. Like, I don't get that feeling from anybody. You know what I mean?
Which is strange
when it comes to working with.
It's just to get it out there again and showcase. The thing is, Scotland, when it comes to its arts, is criminally overlooked a lot of the time.
In every aspect.
Aye, and it's a travesty, to be honest. I think it's something that, especially with a local cinema, should try and push local or localish works.
With regards to the short film industry, years and years ago, when I was young, you used to get every short film before you had been featured in the cinema.
Yeah.
We often get a little, you know, sort of short. I'd like to see them doing that again in Scottish short films in Scottish cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously good quality and broadcastable.
Yeah.
10-minute, 12-minute film before the main film. Because most of your time is used up with adverts, of course, they still need to be there.
Yeah.
And the trailers, which we love. And then it's a wee short film, well, locally made or whatever, you know what I mean?
That's a bloody good idea, and it's something that we could definitely take to.
Yeah.
Because this is like you said, it's not a chain cinema. This is, they make their own rules to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
One guy owns it, I think he lives in Kirkcaldy or something, but it's locally run.
Is that an old cinema?
Yeah.
It's actually a converted,
basically
converted
used to be a church.
Mm-hmm. Used to be a church.
So you go in and it's literally like what a church would be. You know, like that scene in Blackout, right? Imagine that, but like all darkened and perfectly set up like a 4K cinema screen, couches, so it's a homely feeling.
That's
it's like a home away from home. And we loved it when we went to see some movies there, Jordan and I, and we were like, you're right,
we
knew that it wasn't doing well because it's up against it. The View Cinema, which is not that far from it, dropped their prices to kind of undercut, and they couldn't drop their prices based on what they need to keep operating. So we were like, you know, we've got a bit of a local following, and we're enthusiastic about it, so how about you let us select the movie, or let our audience select the movie they want to see, we get the rights to show it, and then we bring them along and we kind of do a bit of a presentation for it.
That's fabulous.
And we've done that for, what, 6-7 times now? And each time they've made a good killing. We've done it with G-Tom Mack from The Lost Boys. We screened Lost Boys, had G-Tom Mack come and perform the song live, signed autographs, everything. They made a killing off it.
Yep.
Absolute killing off it. It was a success. It was in the newspapers as well. I mean, we've really tried to help a local business, and in return, it gives us a place to take our audience. It's not just you listen to us and that's it. You know, we like to kind of engage with everybody, and that's why I think High Times is such a beautiful piece of Scottish TV. That if we could kind of engage our audience with that and build a bit of love, then you know they'll tell their friends, and maybe we'll get something more out of it.
I think what people used to say was it was more of a cult following than it had.
Yeah.
For some reason. I think because of the time went out.
It definitely wasn't because of the content. The reason that it's not where it should be. It's not to do with that or the performances. It clearly has to be, like for us, it's no often something decent gets past us, right?
Aye.
I mean, we're forever watching shite. trying to find something decent. You know what I mean? So it's no often that something gets passed us, and the fact that we had to really dig to find that was like, wow, something like that should be quoted.
I say to people, if they haven't got a clue, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I never had a clue about it until the first time we had Stephen on. That was March. And
that's amazing.
I had no idea. Yeah. And the thing is, that was out when I was in my, like, I'd have been about 19, 20.
See, that's going to be perfect for that age.
Yeah. Exactly.
If it's targeted, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Absolutely. And now as well, though, I mean, I still think it would kind of hold up. With a part, even if you show the old episodes now,
I don't think it's too dated.
No, apart from what you said was Paul's hairdo and the
Paul's and mobile phones and stuff like that. That's what kind of shows at this age, mm-hmm. and maybe just the camera quality at this point.
There is mobile phones in it, isn't it?
Flip phones and just phones bricks, like Nokia 3310, stuff like that. But other than that, I mean, it's the writing that keeps it at a point where, it's just, what's the word, anachronistic, is that the word?
Anachronistic
problems, but they're very, very minor. And it's just with stuff like the internet, and it's like clearly dial up, they're using stuff like that. It's just a technological thing.
Think you make a film without people having mobile phones? I think of the great films that never had mobile phones, I mean, or computers.
Aye, Home Alone would have been fucked.
Such an essential.
Exactly.
Mum, you're listening. All right, back a minute.
What was it? Stephen actually said, Stephen McCall said to us, that sometimes if you just don't acknowledge a phone, just don't ever pay attention to a phone, and you just assume the phone's not a thing. Do you know what I mean? Because he was in that movie, Lonely Place to Die.
Yeah.
And he goes up to the mountains, and of course the phones are, you don't get signal up here. But that's one thing that he had said, that, you know, if you just don't acknowledge phones.
If a tree falls in the forest.
That's it. And even Caroline had said it as well. So a lot of writers just now are wanting to set things back in the 90s and 80s to avoid having to deal with social media.
Well, what it does to your storyline, for instance, is you've sort everything out with the phone.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's stranded, as you say, sort of line, it's like, mm-hmm. pick a phone up, say, or send an GPS.
Send a GPS.
But
it's, you know what I mean? Send it off you.
So I think it's definitely something that, it's something that we're trying to do is to get it a bit more attention, and mm-hmm. hopefully, depending on how things go, we could maybe convince John to.
Oh, no, John's game. Yeah, it's just convincing the people that may be able to make it work.
Caroline still loves it. So
absolutely. She says one of the best things. She worked as well. And that's another thing. We can continuously have to tell everybody sends their love to you. Just as they do it. Yeah, so everything.
I think it's great that you're doing it, actually. Not just from the point of view that there's a possibility there would be a reunion in a screening, but just to sort of give it recognition, I suppose, it deserves as well.
Absolutely.
And then, no matter how small or large, whatever it is. Aye. It deserves it. Does it deserve to be set together?
True. That's so true. I mean, we feel blessed that we're the ones that are able to do it.
I know.
Because, you know, I mean, if it was me, I'd have went with someone far more up the pole than us, like, but the fact that now a fan, like, someone can watch that and go, like, because I watched it and I'm searching for anything on it. There's no other content, even the bloopers and stuff. There's nothing. So now at least if someone watches that and they Google High Times, the first thing they're going to see is this series of podcasts where I was talking about the actors, talking to the actors about what's, you know, how they came to be a part of the show, really just dissecting everything about it and just having a good old laugh about what that show was. So, you know, for me, like, I wish I had that to listen to, but it's even better than that I actually get to do that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the kind of fan service from it. And there are so many other people out there that, at one point, maybe say 6-7 years ago, probably would have been like, you know, where do I find more of this? But because there's nothing, they're just like, right, cool. It's just something I watched now. Do you know what I mean? But I just think with the recent media coverage of it, and this show's actually doing really well, people are continuously downloading these episodes and saying that they're enjoying it. People we've never interacted with before saying, what was it? Someone actually commented and was like, oh, I would love to see them bring back, it wasn't High Times, it was, and they called it something else.
Take it high road.
No, it was, they basically called the show something else, and then someone else comedy. There was like, it's actually High Times and stuff.
A lot of people used to say we that High Road thing.
Right, because it was quite similar name.
That's a good point.
It'd be good. It'd be great.
Because Take the High Road became High Road.
Aye.
I think
it did. It did, eh?
It did, aye.
Mm-hmm.
It did. Again, it's something that's going to stick with us for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Still watching it over and over again.
Bringing memories back that I'd forgotten, to tell you the truth, from sitting in the chat.
Well, I mean, it was...
Scenes and everything, you know.
It's nice, though. Well, hopefully it's nice memories, you know.
I know they are.
I mean, it still holds up now, and I think we're going to keep pushing it as far as we can.
Absolutely.
And
we've yet to do something and fail at it yet. I mean, failure's coming for us, right? But everything we've set our mind to, we've put enough energy and passion behind it that it's came to fruition. So hopefully this will be the same, eh?
Hopefully. Can you see why not? Yes. Certainly got the talent for it.
For sure. Like you guys.
No, you have to do a good job.
I think your last IMDb credit, I think, was 2014. Is it? Have you just stopped acting now, or are you?
I think I didn't make a conscious decision as such. I think after River City, I wasn't chasing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think my agent said she wouldn't put me up for anything else because I had to update my photographs. I still had dark hair in my photographs.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I never got around to it. I'm still represented, but I mean, so I'm not going to put up for work with music, but I'm not bothered.
Mm.
I think I felt I only wanted to try to do decent work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go sitting auditions for driving a car commercial or I think what I used to say was that on a good day acting with a good script feels if you could change the way people think or
mm-hmm.
you could change the bloody world. On a bad day, it just felt really silly and quite stupid. It feels as if you were pretending to be something you weren't, and you feel like that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Aye.
I was going to do a film a year ago, I think, for the students, which I was really interested in. I'm going to play someone with Huntington's disease.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Which would have been a real challenge. And I researched it a great deal and went to visit a couple of people with the disease. It's a student film. I wasn't getting paid for it then, but I was right into it. The day before we were shooting, before to see that someone with Huntington's disease came along, and they were going to play it.
Oh, he just seems more fit to the part.
Won't be as good as me, is it?
But
I'd love to have done that, actually. But that was a real chance. So something like that. I write it, of course, as well.
Yeah.
And as I say, I wrote that film directly. Mm. That was a long time ago, but I still have scripts on the go.
Aye.
And I'm probably more interested in that. Mm-hmm. Direct. Short film.
If you know. Find a good production team.
Well, watch this space.
Aye, absolutely.
This has been a blast, John. Thanks for giving us your time.
That's all, appreciate it.
And we're finally seeing where the Comerford special actually happens, because we've heard so much about the Comerford special.
It's really like Texas salad, isn't it?
Do you know all it's missing is a big rug and some red wallpaper.
I don't know, I think you need a bull skull somewhere. It's a really nice place. So this is in Gibson Street in Glasgow.
Yes.
Keep an eye out for Alice Rocks.
Uh-huh.
This is my mum's name.
Oh, wow.
My mum's maiden name. Rocks.
Oh. Is it?
That's my mum's maiden name.
See? I just thought it was a catchy name.
No, that's
there you go.
Mum's
name. If you're passing by, jump in for a haircut.
And ask for the Comerford special, get 15% off.
Oh my God. Use our discount code,
JabJab15.
We're lying, don't do that. John, thanks very much for your time. It's been great.
And there we go. That was our conversation with John.
Absolutely. Huge thanks to him for allowing us to come into his much praised would you say? It's been highly praised by everybody, yes. The Comerford special. So for us, it was cool to kind of go in there and see it and meet Tex in the flesh. But aye, absolute cool guy. And make sure you guys leave a review to let us know what you thought about the show. If you guys ever want to get a haircut, head down to Alice's what?
Alice Rocks.
Alice Rocks, that's his mum's name. So make sure you head in there and get Tex to cut your hair. Go and ask for a Comerford special and you'll get 15% off.
No, you won't, mate. You fucking won't.
But make sure that you go in there and say, I got told that if I asked for a Comerford special, I'd get 15% off, right? Tell him that.
He is going to come to us in like 4 months and go, guys, you owe me £4,000 and 15% discount for a fucking bunch of wallopers.
Put your head in and ask for the Comerford special, or just go and get your hair cut and chat to your hairdresser about his amazing time on High Times. If you've not checked it out, check it the fuck out and make sure you share this show so that everybody gets an opportunity to hear about how good this show was. Coming up on our next episode, we will have Stephanie Robinson. She was Tracy in High Times and she's a huge talent. I'm really looking forward to speaking to her because her character was deeper and more sophisticated than what it seemed to be anyway. So I'm really looking forward to catching up with her and seeing what she's up to these days. What the hell are you laughing at?
Really looking forward to chatting up.
Chatting up.
You fucking.
Would you care? Rab Campbell, fuck's sake. Oh, I can. So make sure you tune in next week, and you guys will be able to hear our conversation with her. As always, check us out on Facebook, Twitter and whatnot. If you've got questions you want to ask the cast, go ahead and submit them to us. You can also find everything we've ever done or are going to be doing at www.jibberjabberpodcast.com.
And so, on YouTube.
Aye.
To fucking YouTube.
Please, subscribe,
start,
man.
Start going to YouTube. But even if you've listened to this podcast, right, do us a wee favour. Go to YouTube, go to every video we've ever done and watch it for at least 4 minutes. Right? That'll really help us out. And also subscribe.
So, no, it's the subscribers we need. We've already got the minutes.
And then watch everything. That's it.
No biggie. But so once again,
if you've got a spare day or two, you know, just jump on there, subscribe.
Listen to these episodes via YouTube. Just listen to these episodes via YouTube. We'll make some coin and it means we can get some more production value to the show, all right? Anyways, for as always, I have been Skaven Schwells and you have been Jay McAmas.
Stephen Swells.
Skaven Schwells.
Okay, yes, he has been Kevin Wells. I have been Jay Mac. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Wide a happy ever afters and never seem to last.